Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
I'm Jessica Denson, host of Lights On with Jessica Denson here on the Midas Touch Network. Defendant Donald Trump may have committed yet another federal crime, this time for repeatedly claiming a $50 million loan that appears to not exist. Trump was warned that making false statements about loan obligations on public financial disclosures was illegal as far back as 2018, when he was forced, very likely by the actions of my guest today, to report the very $130,000 loan from Michael Cohen that is at the heart of the election interference case he is on trial for right now. My guest today has been on the case for years and uncovered potential Trump crimes on financial disclosures relating to his Chicago business as recently as 2023. He just penned a new criminal complaint against Trump with the FBI and Department of Justice. Please join me in welcoming President of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Noah Bookbinder. Noah, welcome back to Lights On.
Great to be back.
It's been too long, to be honest with you. So happy to have you back. But did I get anything wrong in that brief intro? And can you please explain what is going on here with this mysterious $50,000 loan?
No, you didn't, except for right then, it's actually a $50 million loan.
$50 million, of course.
And it is a little complicated and pretty weird, yeah. Is that going back to the first financial disclosures that Donald Trump filed. So if you're a candidate for federal office, including president, you have to file these federal forms that say what your assets are, what you're owed, what money you owe, what your financial interests are. And then if you're in federal office, like if you're president, you have to file similar forms. So for all of the ones that Donald Trump has filed, he has said that he owes more than $50 million to this company that is one of his companies based in Chicago. And just now, or relatively recently, just in the past number of months, a court-appointed monitor, this is a former federal judge, very well-respected lawyer, who is a monitor in the civil case against Donald Trump, the civil fraud case in New York, not to be confused with the criminal fraud case that he's currently on trial for. His misconduct is so varied and so extensive that it's a little hard to keep straight.
Many judges, many courts.
Exactly.
Yes.
But this former judge, this monitor, looked into this loan that Donald Trump put on all of these declarations, and then all of them he signed it saying that everything on there was, to the best of his knowledge, accurate under penalty of perjury. This monitor said that actually after she had looked into this several times, the Trump Organization said this loan never existed at all. And there's a lot of other evidence that suggests that that's right. There is no public documentation around this loan, which when you take a $50 million real estate loan, there usually is. Donald Trump had actually, all the way back in 2016, told the New York Times when they asked him about this loan that we don't care about that because I'm the bank and, you know, essentially it's meaningless. He didn't use those words, but he did say we don't care about it and I'm the bank. And this Chicago company of his that the loan is supposedly owed to, he has repeatedly listed as having essentially no value up until filing just this past year, where suddenly he did mention this $50 million loan. So there's a lot here that that is as you would expect it to be if this loan was not real. And yet, again and again and again, he is saying that he owes this $50 million loan on these financial forms that, you know, it's like your tax forms, you can't lie on them. And it does raise the question of why, because it's a pretty weird thing to report a very large loan that isn't real. And we have some theories about that. In some ways, it doesn't matter because it's still a crime to lie, but it is pretty strange.
So you're mentioning that court monitor, who, of course, is Barbara Jones, appointed by Justice Engoron in the civil fraud case against Donald Trump. The Trump team has gone after her, as they do after many of the people holding him accountable. But one of the statements that she made is that he has a propensity to engage in persistent fraud by submitting false and misleading statements of financial conditions. And these reports that you're speaking about are public disclosures, right, for either candidates to the FEC or office holders to the government, so that there's transparency about what our public officials or candidates are engaged in. I know you were talking about theories, and I saw some of the reporting that one of the theories is this may be a massive tax evasion effort. Can you kind of explain that?
Sure. So there are a couple of things in what you just said. The first is that Judge Jones, this monitor, didn't end up in this position randomly. She ended up in that position because she was the one person who was recommended by both New York State's lawyers and Donald Trump's lawyers. So she's their choice. So now they're coming out and saying that she's biased and she's unfair, but this is the person they wanted in that position. So that's important to remember. And also important to remember is that Donald Trump keeps doing this. He keeps on lying about his finances and often on official forms. And that's, in a different instance, what he is on trial for in New York right now. So this is not a random fluke. This is a pattern. So on the tax question, it's a little complicated. And again, we don't know exactly why he's doing this. But one theory that seems to make a lot of sense is that he had a very large loan for real estate in Chicago, and he appears to have refinanced it in a way that resulted in some portion of that being forgiven. And then this kind of potentially fake loan shows up. And one possibility is that if Donald Trump had admitted that millions of dollars in debt that he owed was forgiven, he would have had to pay taxes on that. But if he puts it in his financial records as a continuing debt, then he hasn't gotten a benefit. He hasn't gotten a loan forgiven, so he doesn't owe taxes. So it could be that he has created a fake loan obligation to mask the fact that loans were actually forgiven and that he should owe quite a lot of money in taxes on it. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that maybe instead of having the loan forgiven, maybe the loan was transferred to somebody else and he's trying to keep that the identity of that other loan holder a secret. And so he's claiming essentially that he owes it to himself. We simply don't have enough information, but we do have a lot of information suggesting that this loan that he's reporting is bogus, and that he may well have lied about it on repeated financial documents, which would be a crime. And that's what we're asking the Department of Justice and the FBI to investigate.
First of all, Noah, thank you for explaining that in the simplest possible terms. You really did break that down in a way that's easy to understand. And second of all, yes, you mentioned these federal crimes, potential, again, federal criminal violations, 18 U.S.C. 101A2. And I want to remind our viewers and listeners that it was the prodding of you, your organization crew, that was responsible for getting Donald Trump to make the disclosure in 2018 that he, in fact, had had a loan of $130,000 from Michael Cohen, which was, of course, to pay off Stormy Daniels. He resisted paying that off. He should have reported it in 2017, shouldn't he have?
Absolutely. So what happened was he asked Michael Cohen to pay this adult film actress as a way of preventing her from going forward publicly with the story of this relationship that the two of them allegedly had. And then he owed the money to Michael Cohen. It took a long time to pay that money back. So that was a debt that he owed to Michael Cohen. But of course, he didn't want to publicly report that because the whole purpose of this was for this story not to be public. So we, a while back, filed a separate complaint saying that Donald Trump appears to have lied on his personal financial disclosures to the federal government because he didn't reveal this debt that he owed to Michael Cohen. And after we filed that, in a subsequent disclosure, he actually included a statement which said essentially, I don't really have to disclose that, but as a matter of full disclosure, I'm putting forward that I actually did owe this money. And in a very unusual statement, the Office of Government Ethics added a statement that said, yes, we think you actually did need to disclose this.
Oh, both, yes, you do, right?
Yeah, both in this form and in the last one in which you didn't.
Well, and there you get to the mens rea component of a criminal indictment, if it were to come, that he has knowledge that is required. And here it again appears that he may have defied that requirement. Noah, I can't have you here without getting your thoughts on a few other matters that are going on. One is the Supreme Court of the United States, which continues, I think, to flabbergast and appall many of us. I, of course, had the great honor of covering your disqualification suit from beginning to end with you and the other members of the team, and was dismayed, to put it lightly, at the result of that from the Supreme Court after your very merited success in Colorado removing Trump from the ballot. But of course, we have them taking up this presidential immunity claim and entertaining this delay strategy that appears to be succeeding in not having Donald Trump tried for the January 6th insurrection prior to running in yet another one. I wanted to just quote one line from one of the justices last week and get your reaction. This is Justice Alito. He said, "Now, if an incumbent who loses a close, hotly contested election knows that a real possibility after leaving is not that the president is going to be able to go off into a peaceful retirement, but that the president may be criminally prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, will that not lead us into a cycle that destabilizes the functioning of our country as a democracy?" Your reaction, Noah.
I mean, it's really maddening, right? Because, of course, that is exactly what Donald Trump did, right? Yeah. He lost an election. It wasn't actually that close. It was hotly contested only because he refused to give in, and he refused to accept the results of the election. He engaged in a scheme to keep himself in power. Ultimately, he incited a violent insurrection. So the idea that Justice Alito seems to be almost threatening that if you don't give him immunity, this is what a president could do, is really galling, because without any Supreme Court decision, this is what Donald Trump did. And essentially, what the Supreme Court could be poised to do is to give somebody like Donald Trump carte blanche to do it again, by saying he would have immunity, couldn't be prosecuted essentially no matter what he did, and to try to justify that by saying, unless we give carte blanche to a president, they could do this kind of thing in the future, is kind of shocking. I will say that we, in our case in front of the Supreme Court, the case by Republican and unaffiliated residents of Colorado to remove Donald Trump from the ballot, the Supreme Court was extremely disappointing in, they didn't engage at all with the substance of the issue. They never said that he didn't do it. They never said that he wasn't disqualified. They let him off on a technicality, but they really seemed to pass on the opportunity to hold him accountable. And even given that, it really kind of didn't occur to me that they would really seriously entertain the idea of giving full immunity to presidents, because it's such an outrageous and clearly wrong idea. And yet they seem to be finding potentially, and I hope that ultimately they will come to, they will deny his assertion of immunity and they will do it quickly. But it looks like they're at least considering going to new depths to deny accountability and to delay prosecution. And it's really alarming.
Yeah, it's mortifying. And, you know, that line about being prosecuted by a bitter political opponent, I mean, there was so much buy-in to the Trump narrative, which is really this spin on a non-existent notion of political persecution from the Biden administration. And I bring this up specifically with you, Noah, because I can bring myself back to 2021 when I was having my own court victories and I so wanted them to be shared more widely than they were. And I remember following Crew back then, way before we met, and thinking, man, I have got to get in touch with this Noah Bookbinder fellow because him and I are on the same page. You were out front with the urging of the Justice Department to bring criminal indictments against Donald Trump, the need to do that for the salvation of our democracy. And they were so late. I mean, this administration and this Justice Department have not been overly eager to prosecute in any realm. They have been, this has been a slow track, and that's why we're in the position that we are now. But I just want to remind our viewers, you know, two things. One, that this gaslighting that's going on in the Supreme Court to suggest that anything here is political persecution. And two, that our guest today, Noah, is part of this phenomenal organization that has really been at the front of what needs to be done here to save our democracy as it pertains to having Donald Trump prosecuted for his crimes.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all that you have done to move for accountability and shine a light on that. You know, I think that it is, you're right that those statements are so outrageous because the Biden administration really came in, I think, much too much on the side of saying, we want everything to be normal, and so we don't want to bring prosecutions, even though they're merited, because they conceivably could look political, even when they're not. The only person who has been talking about using the Department of Justice to go after political enemies is Donald Trump. And, you know, just as he accuses his enemies of the things that he does, it's really alarming to see members of the Supreme Court, as you said, accepting that kind of gaslighting and running with it.
100%. Well, Noah Bookbinder, as I mentioned, it's been way too long since we had you here. We'll have to do it again soon. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I really hope that there is serious inquiry into what's going on with Donald Trump in Chicago.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. You can always follow Lights On by subscribing to Lights On with Jessica Denson wherever you get your audio podcasts, and by subscribing to my YouTube channel, Jessica Denson. Thanks, everyone.